Okay, welcome everybody as we begin the study of Parshas Lech Lecha. And we make today's shir for a refuah shleima for Yaakov Moshe ben Fadel Ita. And Mr. Shem, she have a refuah shleima b'karav, the schus of our learning today. Okay, so much is happening now in Parshas Lech Lecha, you almost don't know where to begin. But I'd like to start by talking about the Rayim, the shepherds of Lot, and the shepherds of Avram, and the machlokes that they got themselves into. Take a look in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Zayin. So we have the story of the Reev, the fight between the Rayitzayin of Lot and the Rayitzayin of Avram Avinu. Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Zayin. It says like this, right by Shlishi. Hey, v'gamlu Lot ha'haylech ha'zaram ha'yitzayin uvaker v'ahalim. And also to Lot, who went with Avram, as Avram was signed uvaker v'halim, v'lo nasa oisam haaretz l'sheves yachtav, ki ay ruchusha rav, v'lo yachlu l'sheves yachtav. In other words, because they couldn't be together because they had so much possessions, v'hi riv, and what happens when you have too much possessions, as I've said here often, when there was a question of Yerusha, in my mishpacha, I remember a Rav told me, he said, you should be very happy there's not a lot of money here. Because if there was, it could lead to a fight.
So my kids be happy.
Yeah, right, our kids will be happy. By he riv, pasuk Zion, there was a fight, bein raya mikna avram, bein maya mikna loit, v'aknani v'aprizi oz yoysha baretz. And it says, and the Ketani and the Prizi were in the land. So all the Mefarshim want to know, what did one have to do with the other? There was a Riv, there was a fight between the shepherds of Lot and between the shepherds of Avram. No. But what does it got to do with the Ketani and the Prizi being in the land at the same time? What is the relevance? So if you take a look in Rashi, Rashi explains that this actually was the machlokes between the two of them. That what happened, says Rashi, L'fishay Rayim shel Lot Rishayim. Moreim, behemoths, and besadus achirim, they were Rishoyim who went into other fields and used to graze in other fields. By the way, I'd like to just point out that Rashi says they were Rishoyim, they were evil. Now, a lot of people are very interested. They'll say, big deal, so what, you know? So my animal ate a little bit of stuff, what's a schlecht, you know? People think it's a small affair. People think, and Rashi's saying, no. Something small, you take somebody else's property, you're Russia, period. Even no matter how much it is. So that's what he says. V'yishay ray of light, Rishayim. V'rayim b'hem sos. V'ray Avram, ma'chikinos. And the ray Avram would come and they would chastise them, al-gezel. V'yim aymim. And they gave an answer. When you read the answer, you'll say, "What? They weren't such big Rishayim." What do you mean? They actually had a good answer. Nos noritz l'Avram. He gave the land to Avram. V'lo ein yarish. He has no lawyers. He has no yarish, he has nobody to inherit. And Lot ben Achim, and our master Lot is Yarsho. He says, Ve'ein ze gezel, it's not gezel. V'akasav aymer, v'aknani b'rizi oz yashabaret. So the pasuk says that they were there. V'lozok b'avram adayin, that they jumped the gun. In other words, you're right, you will have it someday, but now you don't have it. So you're Rishayim. So the so it seems that the Rai Avram and the Rai Lot, you know, at least they didn't think of themselves as Rishayim. This is very important to listen carefully. The Rai Lot, the shepherds Lot, did not consider themselves to be evil. They consider themselves to be great people. They're good people. They're doing something which is a little bit what we call, euphemistically, shtick. Not so 100%. They're okay, but we have an excuse. It's going to be theirs. So why is Rashi called Rishayim? Because he says you should know. It just because an excuse doesn't make you good. You're still a Russian. You can have an excuse from Heinkes Morgan. If it's only an excuse, you're still a Russian. You still went there. You should have thought about it. Elamai, you wanted so badly to steal, you came up with a Baba Mice that someday we'll have it, and therefore it's like we have it now. You know, anybody with a little bit of seichel knows it's not true. But if you'll talk, I remember I heard B'Shem, a prison warden. He says, in my prison, I have 1,000 innocent men. That's it. And they're all innocent, right? If you talk to them, everyone's innocent. Nobody ever did anything wrong. They started up with me. I had to kill them because they were not nice to me and they spoke. Everybody's got a terrorist. So they were, despite the fact that they did this, they had an excuse, and in their own mind they were justified. Rashi said they were, bottom line is they were showing because they were justifying something that they wanted to do which was not right. So he brings in the Minas Shavua he brings a different pshat, a beautiful pshat, why it says Haknani Oz Ba'aretz, why the Knani is Ba'aretz. By the way, we welcome everybody who's on the phone. There's some people who weren't able to come today who called in and they'll be joining us, so we welcome them. Hope you're listening. So he brings another pshat from Rav Avadya Sforno, from the Sforno, and he says like this, why does it say, the question again is, what does the Knani and the Prizi Oz Ba'aretz have anything to do with it? So listen to what he says, a very beautiful Zach. He says, L'chara, Avram was a great person. And his shepherds were great people too. So when they caught the other side stealing, and the other side of the shepherds of Lot came and said, it's not us, you know, we're someday we'll have it, you know, it's okay. Why didn't Avram go in and tell them off? Why didn't Avram get involved in the machlok? Avram should have gotten in there and he should have come to the defense of his people. Why didn't he do that? Instead, what was Avram's response to this incident? So Avram's response was, let's separate. Alna tihi mariv beni venecha, my brother, let's not have a fight. Ben raya, ben recha, my shepherds and your shepherds, ki anoshim achim nachim, and he sent them away. Why did he say, why don't we say, it says, vayomer Avram, loy toiv osas raya, it's not good what they're doing. Why did he say anything? Why did he just solve the problem this way? Says the Sforno, because he was worried about the reaction of the people around. What was Avram Avinu trying to do? Avram Avinu, remember, what was his test? Lech lecha mi'aretz l'me'alad beis avicha. Go to a new land. Here you're being very successful cured person. You've got all these people following you. I want you to go to new land. I want you to start all over. And I want you to start being makar of them. So Avram Avinu said, the worst thing in the world for somebody who's in kirov is that they should see we're fighting with each other. I don't want to be part of a machlekes. I don't want that the people I want to influence, they'll say, that's the way they behave. I want nothing to do with them. He's the way he puts it, obviously is written from an Israeli standpoint. Yesh kan toshavim zorim chilonim. There's chilonim, there's secular out there. Shavram avinu bigish lekarvin. I want to carve them. So I have to tell, I want to tell Mamuna, I want to tell them how to look at the world. I'm going to be involved in a machlekes. They're going to look at me askance. So he says, beautiful pshat. Vayhi ri ben roi miknavram ben rekeloit. So why didn't Avram get involved? Why didn't Avram? Because a Knani Yishevaretz, and he was worried how the Knanim were going to look at what he was doing and what he was involved in. So that's how he learns it. So we see that Avram Avinu, and we learn a second lesson from Avram Avinu. What did Avram Avinu do when it came time when there was he saw machlokes happening? So we've said often the pshat from the Chassam Sofer that it says Oseh Shalom b'mraimav, hu yaseh shalom aleinu, we say in our Shemoneh Esrei. He who makes peace on high should make peace for us. Why don't we just say, Hashem make peace for us? Why are we giving a mashal to on high? What's the example? He who makes peace on high should make peace for us. So he says, because you look up at the stars are very powerful and they're full of energy. And when they collide with each other, you have cataclysmic explosions, right? The supernovas and all these things from stars colliding. So how does Hashem avoid it? He puts the stars apart from each other. He keeps them all in their own orbit, and he doesn't make them collide. So he says, Oseh Shalom b'mraimav. The same way Hashem gave everybody their space in heaven so that they should be able to coexist, hu yaseh shalom aleinu, should give that space to us so we should all be able to exist with each other by understanding each other's boundaries and each other's limits. How we should not be too much. I heard it says that somebody says shali shali v'shalcha shalcha. It says is a beinani v'yesh imrim rasha. Somebody says mine is mine and yours is yours. Is a regular person. Some say it's a rasha. So somebody asked me in Shabbos, says that's very strange. I mean, the difference between a beinani and a rasha is so far apart. What is he beinani? Is he rasha? So I said, really, shali shali v'shalcha shalcha. The normal madrega of a person is that people keep within their dalet amos. They keep within their dalet amos. Everybody has their own thing. We don't mix in other people's business. Ma tov lecha Yaakov. We don't look into each other's houses. However, somebody who never looks, somebody who totally keeps himself apart, somebody who never looks to do chesed with another person, somebody who never looks to see what the other person is doing, that's a rasha. So the same shali shali v'shalcha shalcha depends when. If it's to give another person his space and everybody should, you know, get be able to exist, like we said, Oseh Shalom b'mraimav, then that's good. But if you're doing it to the point where you're ignoring another person, you're stoltzing on another person, that's Rasha. That's what Rabbi Elephant, Yosef Elephant was talking, giving a shmooze I heard on the whole Indian of phones, cell phones, smartphones, and he used this Mishnah, and he said, what's the big problem, the problem with the phones? Because it's shaliv, everybody's so busy with their own device, they don't have time to look at anybody, talk to anybody anymore. Because everybody, you go, and I remember in the old days in the elevators in the office, so you talk to the people in the elevator, right? You schmooze a little bit, say hello, be friendly. Now, you know, don't get anybody's space, they're looking at their phone,
they
you know?
They come in, and sometimes
so he said, that's shaliv, shalchah, shalchah. When you take shaliv, shalchah, shalchah, to, you know, past where it's supposed to be taken extreme, so chas v'shalom person to Russia. So Avraham Avinu told Lloyd, he pardoned him alive. Let's stay brothers, al no achai. He said, al no, let's be together. We can stay to be brothers, but how are we going to be brothers? Because we're going to give each other space, because we see that when we're together, now we have too much nechasim. Now there is money to fight over. We're going to get into fights. So the best thing is you have your space, I have my space, and that's how we'll continue to coexist and to be brothers together. Okay, good. So let's continue on, and let's go to Perek Yud Daled, Pasuk Chav Beis. And we have the famous four kings against the five kings. And I saw beautiful Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky says a wonderful, wonderful shot. And this is so matim. Take a look, Perek Yud Daled, Pasuk Chav Beis is on page 37. Mm-hmm. So they have a fight, they have a war. And Avram, against all odds, with his Eliezer, his 318 men, fights a war against four of the most powerful kings in the world. And they win. And what happens? The Melech Zedon comes back. And he says, you don't want to reward you. Mayimer Melech Zedon, Pasuk Chav Aleph, El Avram, ten li anefesh, rechush kach loch, take the rechush, you can take the spoils, they're yours. Vayomer Avram El Melech Zedon, and he says, Hari Maisi Yadi El Hashem Kel El Yoy, I raise my hand to Hashem, master of the world, Kainish Shemayim Varetz, who owns heaven and earth, Im Yichut Vatzrech, now from a thread to a shoelace, Vim Ekav Mikol Asher Loch, I take from you, Vloy Samay Shun Se'ani Asharti Yis Avram, I made Avram a rich man. So first of all, just Agav, I asked somebody last night who's a big Talmud Chacham, where does the expression come from a thread to a shoelace? I mean, why didn't we say from, is that maybe in Hebrew, maybe there's an Ivrit expression from a thread to a shoelace? I don't know. He could have said, you know, from a chair to a table, I don't take anything. I don't take any. I mean, why do you pick threads and shoelaces? It's a funny example. The only thing I can think of as thinking is that maybe that was the expression in those days. You know, like the same way we have certain, you know, stitch in time saves nine or whatever. It was expression, shoelace, you know, threads to shoelaces. I don't know. But in any case, the question, of course, that's asked, that the Mefarshim ask, is why did Avraham accept money by Paro in Mitzrayim and by Avimelech by the Plishtim in Gror when Sar was captured, and they offered him money and took it? So why dare he take money, and here, by the story of Sodom, he wouldn't take money? What is the difference between, why didn't he tell Paro, I don't want everyone saying, Ani Hasharti Yis Avram? Why didn't he tell Avimel, Mel Plishtim, I don't want anyone saying, I made Avram rich? Why over here, Dafke, did he say this? So he says, Imam Shah, beautiful pshat, and he tells a beautiful story. He says, there was a Yid by name of Yitzhak Eisenbach in Yerushalayim, who was a young man, and on Shabbos, he was walking down the street and he spotted a gold coin. A gold coin could be, in those days, it was a hein rav. It was a lot of money. I remember the, you know,
gold
when I came to Israel, they still called it, I remember the old timers used to call it zwei fint, two pounds. They used to say pounds, or they said lira, because that was the two currencies. It was either used Italian or English currencies until they got shekels. And he found this gold coin. So he said he could feed his family for weeks on it. So he figures, what's he going to do? He's a frumi yid. So he, you know what do you do when you find a lot of money? You put your foot on it and you stand there. And he figures, I'll stand there till after Shabbos and I'll pick it up. Anyway, so he says a young Arab kid comes along and he sees him, you know, you can imagine he's standing like this, you know. So he goes, like, what are you standing on top of? So he tells him, oh, nothing, you know, I just like standing here like this. He goes, yeah, right. So he gives him a push, sees the gold coin. The Arab kid takes the gold coin and runs away. So he's crying. He goes back to, you know, he goes back and says, dejected, Yitzhak sulked to the nearby Chernobyl-based medrash. We sat in the corner. Normally, Yitzhak would help prepare the Shabbos Shalashudas. Today, he sat dejected and depressed until Shabbos was over. So the Rebbe asked him, what's wrong with you? So he told him the story. So he says, you did that for Shabbos? You stood and you let them take the gold coin which could have fed your family 2 weeks for Shabbos. He says, I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of you that I'm going to give you the same coin. I'm going to give you a gold coin. He takes out a gold coin. He says, I'm going to replace the gold coin that you gave her for Shabbos. He says, but one condition. He says, I want you to give me the schar for the mitzvah that you did. So the young bacher looks at him and says, give away the schar for my mitzvah? No way. He says, that's the case. Keep the coin. I'll keep the mitzvah. The mitzvah was worth more to him than the coin. Why did Avram get involved in the story? Why did he go to war? He had nothing. He had nothing from this war. He had nothing to do with it. So why did he go to war? He went to war to save his nephew. He went for a mitzvah. Oh, I'm not taking schar for the mitzvah. I don't want anything to do with it. It says, Mashain came. It says, Avimelech comes to Avram for damages that he was willing to accept. But for priceless mitzvah, never. Certain actions we do are beyond physical evaluation. By keeping the sphere of the unearthly, they remain like the heavens themselves eternal. That we should know that we have a mitzvah. Never give up a mitzvah. Rabbi Reiser spoke about a medrash, or a zayir, I'm not sure. That says, there's a klippa called chinam. In Shemaim, there's a thing called, there's a thing called chinam, free. You should never do a mitzvah for free. You should always spend money for a mitzvah. If somebody offers to give you an esrog and look, say, I'm sorry, here's money. I'm not going to take it for free because you want to have to show your chavivus a mitzvah, it's put in there. And never give up a mitzvah for schar. Okay, let's move on. Two other things. Let's go to Tez Zion, Tez Vav, Pasuk Hey. So Avraham Avinu has this amazing, amazing dream. He has this amazing dream that he has. And he has the bris ben Absarim. So it says, Acher Dvar Melech, page 38. After these things, Hayadvar Hashem al Avram, Hashem came to Avram b'machzah lemor in a vision saying, Al tira Avram, don't be afraid Avram, Anoichi Maginloch, I'm going to watch out for you. And he goes and he tells him in Pasuk Hey, he says, Vayayitza Osachutzi, takes him outside, Vayomer, Habet no Shemaim, look at the stars. Look at the heavens, as far as come, count the stars. And Tuch Lisbar, some of it, Yomer Loi, Koyezarach. And he says, that's how his children would be. So he gives this amazing, beautiful, beautiful vision of sky's the limit. You know, maybe this is where that expression came from. Sky's the limit. You can do everything you like. The stars, your children like the stars. It's wonderful. Okay, we go right to Pasukov Beis, and it seems something totally different happens during the Bris Bein Absarim. It says that Avram Avinu, I'm sorry, Pasuk Yud Beis, I made a mistake. Pasuk Yud Beis, and so what happens? Vayhi Hashemesh Lavo, the sun goes down. V'sardema Nafal Avram, and he goes into a deep sleep. V'nei Ema Chashech Yudolus Nafelus Lav, and a great fear falls upon him. And it doesn't say yet what it is. A fear falls upon him. Then he says, you should know that your children will be gerim be'er shalolehem. But a fear falls upon Avram, and this fear is a very strange thing. Why is Avram so afraid? What happened to Avram that he should fall? We're in Pasuk, Perek Tez Vav, it's page 39, Pasuk Yud Beis. We're talking about why at the beginning of the Max Avram, it's everything seems wonderful. You're going to be like the stars in heaven. And then at the end, it says a deep fear fell upon him and everything like looks gloomy and dark. What's the difference? How do you contrast the two visions? So he says this following story, and this will resonate in this office and in this room. It says there was a Yid by name of Rabbi Shimshon Zelig Fortman. He was the Rav of the Congregation of Knesset on the Far Rockaway in the 40s. I know it was around that long.
What's his last name?
Fortman. F-O-R-T. Yes, I do. You'll hear the rest of the story. We'll get to that. Don't give it away. So, okay. So he says he was the Rav in the White Shul. Now called the White Shul. I know what it's called then. Okay, he says that at that point, he says Orthodox Jewry was considered finished in America. It was like basically
the sickly weed.
There were only a few from people. It says they had hardly a voice in Washington. They were disorganized and fragmented. And not like now when the daughter of the president-elect of the United States went to daven by Kivrei Tzadikim the night before the election.
I heard about it.
But the idea being is that, you know, we see things have changed. Okay, but it said he discounted they had hardly a voice in Washington. Disorganized and fragmented, the structure of European Jewry was almost the last nail in the coffin of Torah Yiddishkeit. Rabbi Fortman had a young son of Moshe, who was studying yeshivas near Baltimore. He would tell his father that he saw a future for Orthodox Jewry was filled with honor and power. The representatives would have direct access to the Congress, the Senate, even the President of the United States. They had influenced legislation with their values, fill stadiums and museums and coliseums, Torah assemblies and prayer gatherings. This is what he tells him in the 40s. Rabbi Fortman was very concerned about his young son's ivory tower dreams. He felt the dreams distracted him. He'd never accomplished anything. So, this is a great story. So the Panavizhar Rav comes to America, and he goes to Panavizhar Rav. He says, you know, my Eidim Zachem Meshigan that he's talking about, he's going to build Judaism, he's going to be coming at the Yiddishkeit, they're going to fill stadiums and coliseums. Like, what's right there? So he says, Moshe and Rabbi Kahneman met for an hour. The Rav listened intently and told young Moshe, dream, my son, continue to dream. In fact, you can continue to dream as long as you live. But remember one thing, never fall asleep. This person was, of course, our very own Rabbi Moshe Scherer, who's the picture is right here on the wall of our room. You can see the first one on the right is Rabbi Scherer. And he was the person who filled stadiums and coliseums and spoke to presidents. We have another room here. We sometimes say this year. I don't know if you've ever gone in there. You take a look at the wall. They have the president's wall. I'm sorry, I only made it up to the vice president. Never got to the president, picture with the president. But you have all the pictures of the people with the president.
So he said, was also his son-in-law, Rabbi Calendar.
Right, exactly. He was his shvager. So he said, so this is how, but he takes the beautiful, he says, so what did the Panavizhar Rav say? Panavizhar Rav said, keep dreaming, but don't fall asleep. You have to be up. You have to be up, and you have to be levitic and live. Never let things go. So he says, perhaps homiletically, Avram began to tremble the moment that sleep set in. He understood that the great visions of grandeur might occur in a dream, but nothing could appear if he fell asleep. The visionary falls asleep, all the dreams are lost in slumber. So he's a beautiful pshat. So what it's saying in the pasuk that Avram, Yashem's love of it, Sardem and Naflal Avram, he started to feel great trembling. Why? Because he couldn't do anything, because he was at night, he was sleeping. Have you ever had in the middle of the night, you wake up, there's something bothering you greatly. You wake up in the middle of the night, you can't fall asleep. Why can't you fall asleep? Why is it bothering you so much? Because you can't do anything about it. It's the middle of the night. You can't call the person up and ask for mechila. You know, you can't call them up and tell them what you think. It's the middle of the night. So you have to wait till the morning. So in the middle of the night, he said, that's a pshat. As long as Avraham Avinu could do and do and do, the sky's the limit. But if he falls asleep and he's not accomplishing, then taka, he has to worry about it. Okay, let's do one more thing, and then if we have time, we'll end with a great story, as Rabbi Kron likes to say. Okay, let's take a look now in Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Vav. So we have the story of Sarah and Hagar. And we know that Sarah did a magnificent thing. She took Hagar and she brought Hagar into her house in order, because she wasn't able at that point to have children, and Avram would have children and they would share, that would be her chelik. And what happened, it didn't work out so good, because when Hagar became pregnant, so what happened? She started to Nebuch to make fun of Sarah. So, but take a look, Gvirtabe. Now, take a look. It's on page 40, pasuk dalet at the end. Vayavo el Hagar. She came to Hagar. Vatar, and she being pregnant. Vatera ki arasa. She saw that she was pregnant. Vatego Gvirtabe. Now, she started to treat Sarah lightly. And Rashi says, why did she treat Sarah lightly? She said, if I must be the tzadekis, and she's not. Because if she was sick, she'd also be having a child. So the fact that I'm having a child means I'm bigger than her. And she started making fun of her, so Sarah felt very badly. Omrit, Sarah zu ain't sistra kigluya. She's not in private as great as she is in public. Mara atzma kilu hi tzadekis. This is Nebuch Lashon Hara. People say so much on other people. She makes herself like she's a tzadekis. Veda tzadekis, she's not a tzadekis. She'll zochs on the run. She wasn't tzadekis to get pregnant. Kol Hashanim all these years. Vani, nisarben, I was right, you came right at the beginning. So what did Sarah do? Vatayimer Sarah l'Avram, chamasi alecha. My upset is on you. And she's making fun of me. Hashem Do what's right in your eyes. So Sarah oppressed her and she ran away. So what do we think when we say Sarah oppressed her? So right away it comes to our mind. She was mean to her. She said nasty things to her and so on. So he says, he brings that you have to. We have to do a reset on how we expect when we read Chumash, how we understand things, and we can't understand it according to our own way. And first, he brings a story. It involves Alter Zeta mind. So it's a nice. I like the story. The story with the Divrei Chaim, the Tzanzer Rebbe, famous Divrei Chaim, Chaim Tzanz. He was once walking together. This is with my Alter Zeta, Ateris Yeshua, the Jikavir Rebbe, and they were going together. And what happens? So the Tzanzer turns to the Jikavir. He says, "Oi, he nays the Keni Kvar Hilbin. My beard is all right, white already. V'terem shavti b'tshuvas al chatoi ne'urai." There's a thing called chatas and neurim. People, when they're young, they do things they shouldn't do. And later on in life, they have to do tshuva for it. Right? One of the things the Gemara says that they used to sing by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that our youth should not embarrass our old age. The things that we do shouldn't get caught up with us. Baruch Hashem, they didn't have emails then, so I guess it was easier, you know, not to get caught. They say that the big loser from the election was email. People are much more careful about email. So he said, that's what he said. So he says, "I feel bad, I didn't get a chance yet. I'm already white, who no longer be in this world, and I didn't do tshuva yet." So one of the people was standing around, you know, if you ever see a picture of tzaddikim, there were always had people around them, and one of them started to laugh, sort of to say, "Oh, im gadol hador terem shav al chatoi nurav. If the gadol hador did it, he didn't do tshuva from when he was a kid. Kein emat savi shali nair kol kach. So well, not so bad." So Jikavir Rebbe saw that, and he had a kapeid on this person. He said to him, "Shaitish b'ilim." He says, "You think you know what the chet of the Rebbe is? You're looking because you know your own chatoyim? I'll tell you what the chet of the Rebbe was. Because he was this middle davening Shemoneh Esrei, and all of a sudden it popped in his head a tremendous answer on a Rambam, a kasha on a Rambam. Tremendous answer on a Rambam that he didn't understand. All of a sudden he got the answer. So that was what he meant. That I was mafsik for my davening for that millisecond. You think your grub idea, you don't even begin to understand what it means when a gadol, what he's talking about." So he says that the same thing over here. You have the tzitzit between Sarah and Hagar. And as they said, we start to say that, you know, we take our low vision of things and we start to put in there. He says, but you have to understand what's going on here. Who was Sarah? Sarah was the base of Avram. Chesed l'Avram. She was his full partner in every chesed that he did. She was Megayir HaSasanoshim. She was Makar of all the women. He was Makar of the men. And she was Makar of the women. So she did everything. She was tremendous Balas Chesed. And furthermore, look at the chesed she did with Hagar herself. She went, and what does the Pasuk say? It's very interesting. This is what we said last week. The Pasuk tells us that she told her, Vatikach, Pasuk Gimel. Vatikach, sorry, Eshes Avram, on page 40. She took Eshes Avram. Remember we said a few weeks ago that whenever it says Vatikach, what does it mean? And she took? Bedvarim means she spoke words to her. So what were the words that she said to Hagar? She didn't just take her because she was her servant and say, "Here you go." It says, "Locha bedvarim." She took her with words. Ashrayach, happy are you, should zechisli dabik beguf kadosh kazeh, that you are worthy of being together with such a great man. So she was nice to her. She was totally nice to her. So what was it when it says fataneh? We have to re-understand the word fataneh. What does it mean she oppressed her? So how do we understand this? Listen to a chazal that he brings, and the chazal will help us understand Inui, and I don't know if we can live up to this totally, but at least we can get a sense of what greatness means, and maybe in some small way we can live up to it. The Gemara says like this, Mechilta. It says, Kasher Malchus Raimi Haitzias Nasi Yisrael B'Shin Gamliel Asara Hurugay Malchus. One of them was Reb Shimon Gamliel Nasi Yisrael. They took him out to be killed. Haimitztayer. So what does a tzaddik do when he's on his deathbed? He looks in his soul and says, "What did I do wrong? Why should I be taken out to be killed like this? Why? What did I do?" Ki hayimitztayer, ki lo matza biyado kol avni. He couldn't find anything. Can you imagine to make it? Probably find the last 15 minutes. I could probably find just 5 minutes. You know, I didn't say the shir properly. I don't know. We'll figure things out. But he couldn't find his whole lifetime. So he's crying. What did I do wrong? Why is this happening to me? Must be something. And I got to do tshuv on it. Why do you want to know? Not, you know, just for curiosity's sake. He wants to know because I got to do tshuv, but I don't know what it is. I can't do tshuv. So one of the other Surah Malkus Yushal Kain Gadol said, Ulai Mishu Balish, I don't know what he thought of this. Ulai Miyu Balishal Shela, somebody came to ask you a question. Vik Kafta Isay Ach Disayim Es Arucha, and you made the person wait until you finished what you were doing. But Tyra Omra, and the Tyra says, Im An Isano Isay Shemo Eshbetzakasai Vechara Api, and the Tyra says, that's where he got it from. He says, if you oppress somebody, I'm going to listen to their voice, and I'm going to be angry, and I'm going to take it out of you. So he says, "What? Maybe you did something. Maybe you made somebody wait. That's called inui, to make somebody wait." Listen to what he says. Nisker Reb Shimon Gamliel. So he says, "I remembered. I now know what I did wrong. I know I'm being put to death." This is the story. Pamach is one time, he says one time in his whole life. She'isha ba'al lishol shayla. A woman came to ask me a shayla. And a woman standing in front of me, and she has a shayla. And he says, please, I have to tie my shoes first. He let her wait while he tied his shoes. Because according to who he was, that was called anasana. That was called oppressing another person, that he made her wait. So he said, when he heard that, he says, Yishmael achi nicham toni, you made me feel better. Now I know what I did wrong, and now I can do tshuva. That's what he said. See, can you imagine? He waited, he made her wait for a minute, I don't know how long it takes to tie shoes, 30 seconds, a minute, whatever it was. But he made this woman wait. That's called anatana. And it says, that even so, anatana, it says yosem and almana, but the Chazal tells us it means everybody, just yosem and almana are more in need of our shmira. So therefore, he felt very bad, and he was able to do tshuva. So he says, can you imagine? Says all the doctor's offices, all the government offices where people wait, you know, for hours. They have to do tshuva. He says, except before we get busy criticizing everybody else, he says, how about ourselves? When somebody asks us, a family member asks to do something, we say, let me just finish what I'm doing. Let me, I didn't finish my meal. I didn't finish the paper. I didn't finish the this, the that. It's something he says, we're not on the Madrega of Shimon Gamliel. We're not on the Madrega of Avraham Avinu. But we have to be, so he says, that was Sarah. When it says Vataneha, it doesn't mean in the grubba way that we think of it. But it means she did something to show the person. I'll tell you from my own experience. Sometimes you can call a Gadol Yisrael to ask them something. And by the sound of the silence, you'll know if maybe you didn't say the right thing. Or you talk to another person. The person's too able to say anything. They go, no. Or I'm not sure, you know, but you can tell that maybe you should have asked it differently. Maybe you shouldn't have bothered, maybe whatever. They're never going to tell you. But you can get from just a look, just a krech, just a thing, you can understand what people are saying. And that's over here. A person has to be very careful when he deals with other people to treat them with kindness, with respect, and never fall into that trap of being chas v'shalom, being over of ana sana, of making them wait. And he says, that's what she did. Maybe she looked at her the wrong way. And because she looked at her the wrong way, she ran away. She understood. Remember, Hagar was also the big madrega. Hagar talked to a malach. Nobody here has done that. Hagar talked to a malach. She was a great madrega. So she understood when Sarah looked at her the wrong way, but the criminal, you know, that's it. So Sarah didn't, just a little bit at these people at that level. That there, just a look is enough. It says a story that the Sefer Loshen, HaGoyim Baal Loshen Azov, the Rab of Lezhinsk, was once going with the Noam Elimelech on the way. So it was Tashlich. So they're going for Tashlich. So the Noam Elimelech, after Tashlich, what's the minute we take our pockets, we take and we empty it out. So he empties it out. So after that, he sees, the Noam Elimelech sees this other Rav is sitting going on the ground looking like this. So he says, what are you doing? He says, I'm trying to find your averas, because the averas that you do are like the mitzvahs that we do. He says, that's how chashuv the mitzvahs are. That what you call an avera is what we call a mitzvah. When a gadol does it, and you see all this, he says, that's how we have to look at everything that happened in Torah, in the Chumash. We always have to do that. But I just want to finish with a story that I saw in the Torah tablets from a long time ago. It's a true story. So he said, the story was like this. There were two teenage girls studying an American seminary in Israel, were looking at some old photographs of Gedolei Yisrael. They were commenting on the way Rabbanim looked in those days, and a minute of carelessness or perhaps thoughtless immaturity, one girl made a flippant, disparaging remark about Baruch Ber. Baruch Ber had big pays, so that's what I'm assuming she's saying. The minute she said it, her face, she got stricken with Bell's palsy, where the face, the mouth gets distorted. It's a terribly painful in its own. In a pain and embarrassment, the young lady became hysterical and panic. She didn't know what to do. So her father went to Steinman, and he told him what happened. So Steinman said that there's only one thing you do. You have to ask Mechila at Baruch Ber's kever in Vilna. You have to go to Vilna. Remember, the Neretz, so go to Vilna. He says, there's only one problem. Nobody knew where his kever was. They didn't know where the kever was. It was somewhere in Vilna, in the Beis HaChaim. I mean, Beis HaChaim in Vilna, I think, could have like a, I know the one in Varsha has like a quarter of a million kvarim. And so where the kvarim?
My father was at the Levaya.
Of what?
For Baruch Ber.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's very close to him. He lived a house away.
Okay. I'm going to tell you something. When I was a Bacher, and we said this in Shem, when I was a Bacher in Telz, I remember the Rosh Hashiva used to say, see that Yid, there was a Yid, Balabos used to come and sit in the Yeshiva. I remember he used to sit up in front, and he'd say, look at that Yid, he saw the Chafetz Chaim. He's a special Jew because he saw the Chafetz Chaim. It's not going to say, your father saw Baruch Ber. you saw your father. So he said, so they went to Yisrael Meir Gabay, a breast of a chosid, who through his organization, Agudas Olei Tzadikim, is responsible for identifying and restoring lost kfarim of Rebbes. So, and they tell him where it was. So what happened? The girl has this Bell's palsy, and she has to ask Mechila. So he gets a map of the Zaretsa cemetery, Baruch Ber is buried near his father, and they didn't know where to go. So finally they went and they found three Alter Yidden who were in the Levi at that time, where they're already in the 80s. And Rav Gabay interviewed each person separately. Surprisingly, their correction of the funeral, the specific area where he's buried, was the same. So each one recalled a room was used for Tahara, which was close to the kever. Now the Tahara room wasn't there anymore. But they remember that all the kfarim were this way, and one kever was in the other direction. So he said, then what they did is using high-tech infrared imaging equipment, they made a shocking discovery. One was to clinch the corroborating evidence. He discovered there was one grave, the one and only grave, that was perpendicular to the rest of the graves in a particular row. He had done his research. He knew what it meant. When Baruch passed away, he was finally requested to be buried near his father. The problem is, all the kfarim were there. So what did they do? There was no room. So Reb Chaim Oizer himself paskened that he was now able to do it in not in parallel, but it would be perpendicular at the head of the row. That way he could be in. He said, 75 years later, using high-tech imagery, Baruch Ber's kever had been identified beyond a shadow of a doubt. They found it because of this. Can you imagine? I mean, in a funny way, it's a schluss of this girl. So needless to say, the stricken girl's father organized a minyan. Oh, they had to make a minyan. And they went to there, and she asked Mechila in front of the whole minyan. And immediately, the Bell's palsy went away. And she was cured.
How did they figure out which one was Baruch Ber's from the three?
No, because the three were this way, and it was perpendicular to the other ones. It was the only grave that was, the three people remembered, they all remembered that his grave was not in the row, it was perpendicular, because that's how they fit it into the cemetery.
Anyone
can make copies and take it home. There was no mitzvah. Obviously,
they could make one.
Now they made a mitzvah. Yeah.
They went.
So okay. So anyway. So the bottom line of the story is the bottom line of the story is, why did I tell the story? It's a true story. I mean, it's happened like now, a few years ago. So it's amazing. But the bottom line of the story is how careful we have to be when everything that we say and we do, especially about Gedolei Yisrael, that sometimes people make thoughtless remarks and they say things without even thinking, and we can't imagine this. And if it's true, anasana, on even the weakest of our society, and we have to be so careful, for sure we have to be careful about Gedolei Yisrael. So Reb Shimon Gamliel, even for making a woman wait while he tied his shoes, said, that's why I'm being put to death by the Romans. So we've got to be a lot careful when somebody asks us a favor, somebody has to do something, pass them right away, take care of it right away. We should never chas v'shalom be oyer anasana. So when it says by Sarah vayanel, and she oppressed Hagar, not in the pashut way, but in a way that only a tzedekus would do such a thing in order to show his displeasure with the way Sarah behaved. So it all be zaycha to treat Gedolei Yisrael properly, to treat each other properly, and then we'll talk also be zaycha to be as a Mashiach. Thank you so much.